Jesus cares so much for His church. And there's a sense in which we read this parable that Joy just shared with us about the vine and the branches. And we think of it in terms of individual responsibility, but it's also in regard to the church being the branches. So I want you to think in two terms as we go through the lesson today. I want you to think about how we're functioning as a church, and are we abiding in the vine, and how am I doing as an individual abiding in the vine? Verse 5, verse 4 and 5 both, but I want to use verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We have to understand this relationship of the vine and the branches. It's very, very important. Jesus is saying that if we don't abide in Him, if we're not part of Him, then we can do nothing. We can accomplish nothing as a church, as individuals. Our life will be stifled in what pleases God. It's not enough to just be a good person. You must be God's person. You must be intricately connected to Christ Jesus in everything that you do. It is from whence we get our life. It's from whence we get our direction. And Jesus starts off by saying, you have to abide in me. You have to live in me. You have to be a part of me. You have to be contained within me. And so I want to talk about this idea that Jesus presents when he says, abide in me. Now, when you look at this passage, and I want you to keep John 15 open because we'll be referencing it a couple of times, this word abide comes up over and over again. The Greek word, meno, is a primary verb for to stay with Jesus. It's a place, a state, a relationship of expectancy. We are supposed to be with Him. That's what Jesus is saying. The King James uses words like abide, continue, or dwell with Him. To be present, to remain, to stay, or to tarry with Jesus. We're not to separate ourselves from Him. We're not to have a church life and a school life and a work life and a social life that are separate. For in everything we do, we must abide in Him. In fact, in the New King James translation, in 11 verses, the word abide is found 10 times. That's a remarkable feature to me to understand that many times he repeats this. Read back with me again, if you will, the reading. We'll give emphasis to every time the word abide comes up in the reading. Remember, it's Jesus who's talking and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bear fruit, he prunes it, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. Actually, if you look at that, that's abide used twice in one, so we might even go up to 11 times, because we're supposed to abide, we're supposed to live in Him, and He's supposed to live in us. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless you abide in the vine. You must be part of the vine. You must continue in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide, continue in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, there it is again, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone is not able to abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, that they may gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be given to you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. And you know, there are a lot of Bible publishers that make a division here and make it look like that's the end of the passage. But as we read down through verse 11, he begins to talk about loving and that relationship we're supposed to have. It's obviously, as he continues this theme of abiding, that it's still, the thought continues on. As the Father loved me, this is a part of abiding, and also as I have loved you, abide in my love. Be connected to my love. If you keep my commandments, that is, if you are obedient, You will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There is a relationship being pointed out here that Jesus has with God that he wants us to have with him. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And so this idea, as we look at this passage, takes on a new meaning for me. And I don't know why, as I've studied this and I've looked at it before, the word didn't jump out at me as much as it does. How can you read 11 verses and hear abide, 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 be part of, stay with me, be a part of me, continue with me? How can you not understand that we don't have life apart from the vine? And Jesus fully identifies himself as I am the vine. There is no life apart from Jesus. And so I began to look at this passage over and over again. There are a lot of songs we sing. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comfort flee, O help of the helpless, O abide with me. There's another song we sing where he says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. That's the song. It comes directly from John chapter 15. And as Christians, we need to focus on this relationship of abiding in Jesus. In John chapter 15 and verse 10 that we just shared with you, Jesus says, but without question, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in me. That's an interesting thought for me to stop and think, because that's not the way a lot of people look at it. A lot of people say, if you can keep my commandments, then you're doing what I'm saying. If you keep my commandments, you won't get in trouble. He says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in me. Keeping his commandments is because that's what our life does. It comes from the vine. We're the branches. As a church, we must keep his commandments and abide in his love. If you want to experience the love of God, you keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 12 and going down throughout the passage, John writes, if we love one another, God abides in us. That's significant. If I love you and you love me, God abides in us. You want God in your life? Then put Christians in your life. In fact, he goes on to say, and his love has been perfected in us when we have this sense of communion, community, this, what the Greeks call koinonia, this relationship. In fact, that word is the very one we get communion from. This having in common that we go together. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I don't know if you're beginning to get the gist of this, but there is no life apart from Christ. There is no life apart from God. And the only way to do that is to live in him, become continually connected to him. For if you are broken off, if you're the broken off branch, you're cast into the fire. If you don't abide in the vine, you lose your life and you die. That's why it's so imperative that we, that you and I, make sure we are in Christ, that we are permanently connected to the vine. He's quite clear about what happens to the fruitless vine. Verse 2 of chapter 15, he says he cuts off every branch. This is the New Century Version. Says he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. We'll point this out in a minute, but let me explain the he here. Jesus said, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener. So when it says he cuts off, it's talking about the Father cuts off the fruitless branches of the vine. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure for myself that I don't want to be cut off as being fruitless. I don't want to be taken from the vine from Jesus. In John chapter 15, verses 6 and 7, he comes back to say, they are like a branch that is thrown away and then dies, and people pick up the dead branches and throw them into the fire and burn them. If you don't abide in Christ, you wither and die and are burned and cease to exist. That's the point of the passage. And so you and I must learn to abide in him. But it almost seems that that passage brings up another question. What fruits are we supposed to be bearing? I think there's a sense in which, and I'll talk about it in a minute, in which it is true that we bear Christian fruit, and by that I mean reproduce in the kingdom. That is to bring others to Christ. But I also think it's important to understand what he's saying here. In Luke chapter 6, he says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruits." Looking at that passage, it makes me think that there is something intrinsic that we see or that can be seen in us if we abide in Him. I was down at Lowe's yesterday. In fact, I'm walking a little stiff because we did a lot of yard work yesterday. And we were looking around and there were some peach trees over there. You know how I know they were peach trees? They had a little picture of a peach stuck in the dirt with them. I'm sure that other people could look at the leaves and the bark and smell them and know, but you know me, there was a picture. And there were some grapes over there and there were some different, and I looked at the pictures and by their fruits do you know what's on the vine? By the fruit do you know what's on the tree? By what is produced you can tell what's going on here. And in the lives of Christians we're supposed to be bearing fruit. Verse 45 says, "A good man out of the goodness of the treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man brings out evil treasure out of his heart, brings forth evil, and out of the abundance of his heart the mouth speaketh." And so I think we're really talking about what Paul calls in Galatians the fruit of the Spirit. And there are a lot of ways you can look at Galatians chapter 5, but I think we ought to be able to look into your life and see if these things exist, and if they don't exist, why don't they exist? Because as a Christian, as a church, this ought to describe us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that what people see when they see our church? Is that what people see when they see me? Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those are the qualities that are manifest in our life, for they are called the fruits of the Spirit, and to have those fruits of the Spirit, we must abide in Him. He is the source of those very qualities in our life. I realize that it's a process. Perhaps that's the reason he used the illustration of a vine growing and producing fruit. It doesn't grow. When I walked through the store yesterday and through the nursery department out there, I didn't see a single grape grow during the time I was there. I didn't see a peach form at all. No apples made the blossom to the fruit while I sat there. It's a process by which we get there, but I'll guarantee you if you break the limb off, if you break the branch off, it's not going to produce, it's going to wither and die, and we must be producing the fruit in our life. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, I mentioned this just a minute ago. Paul said, "I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, how often I plan to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles." Paul said, "I want to see Christians produced by my visit." And I think that that's another thing we look at when we are apart from the vine. We cannot produce Christians. We must abide in the vine. But the purpose is that we produce fruit. And you just simply cannot do it apart from Christ. You see, Jesus is the vine. He's not a runner. He's not a branch. He is the vine. He is the main trunk. He is the source. He is where everything else comes from. And that's what we have to understand. You see, the Jews rejected the true vine. They didn't accept him. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 21, the prophet wrote, "Yet I have planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. Then you've turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine." You didn't accept Jesus, the true vine, the seed. You rejected it. You became something else. We called a degenerate vine because we didn't produce what we were supposed to, or because they didn't produce what they were supposed to. It could be that at the Last Supper that Wes just referenced for us just a moment ago, that there is that hint of the vine being so important when Jesus said in Luke 22 and verse 18, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God come." There could have been a lot of other liquid used, but Jesus is the vine, and His blood has to be shed. And when you get to the kingdom, the fruit of the vine, Jesus said, "Do this in," you know the word, don't you? "Remembrance of me." The vine is Jesus. We are His branches. And weekly as we come across this memorial event that we call the Lord's Supper, it ought to be a time to remember the vine and our connection, our relationship to the vine, it ought to call us back, not just to the blood shed on the old rugged cross, but the fruit of the vine is an important concept for us to get as well. Look at verse 2 of John chapter 15, where it says, every branch in me, every branch that is connected to me, every branch that is a part of me, that does not bear fruit, he takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. That's what he wants. He wants to bear more fruit. He wants us to be productive in his kingdom. But we can't do that if we are not in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, where he tells the church there that you are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Galatians 3, 27, for as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's the way you get into Christ. If you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, then you're not in Christ. You're outside of Christ. But the final thought is one I mentioned in passing. The Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. He is the life-giving. He is the root. He is the trunk. He is that which gives life to the branches and ultimately produces fruit. But somebody has to tend the vine, and Jesus said it's the Father. It's Jehovah who prunes, who gardens, who waters, fertilizes, tends the grapevine. When we look at the vine dresser, we're looking at the gardener. And in John chapter 15, Jesus says it's the Father that has that position. So the vine dresser, according to our text, has a couple of things he has to do. One of them is he protects the vine. Gardeners watch and care for what goes on in the vineyard. As we were walking in the yard this weekend at our house, we had planted some little apple trees last fall. And so far we have produced nothing. That's not true. We have some leaves. But something was eating our leaves. And my wife says, we've got to do something about this. Me, I was happy with the leaves. We need to spray the leaves. And so we got the spray and we sprayed it on there because somebody's got to take care. The tree would die. The fruit would never come if we let the bugs take over the tree, if we let them be an infestation. And so she saw what God sees when he looks at the vine. He says, somebody's got to take care of this and protect it from the bugs and from the diseases and whatever. And that's what the vine dresser did. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the good and on the evil. God's watching how we're doing when it comes to producing on the vine. But then there's another function that he has as a vine dresser, and that's to purify. He uses a number of different ways to purify. The text talks about a couple here. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Years ago, I used to like to plant tomatoes. I like tomatoes. I like fresh, homegrown tomatoes. Every time I planted the tomatoes, I fed the squirrels and the birds and the bugs. I very seldom got more than 2 or 3 tomatoes out of 10 or 12 plants in the summer. But you already know I'm not good about watching for bugs and squirrels and blight and all those things. But I remember somebody telling me that I had to pull out the suckers, the little branches that were coming up in the wrong place, because they were going to take away from the fruit developing. And so when you see the vine dresser, when you see God pruning, he's doing it for the growth of the vine, to be more productive. And there are little suckers in our life that come up that need to be pruned out of our life. There are things that will take us away from Christ, that will take us away from the mission, that will cause us not to be productive and fruitful in Christ. And sometimes when God prunes those, that's difficult for people. You ever go through and you see a tree that's got a lot of dead limbs in it? And you think somebody needs to cut those dead limbs out for the health of the tree. But then he says, every branch that's bearing fruit, he prunes it. Now you know I'm not a gardener. I've already pretty much explained that to you. But you know the vine dresser prunes it, and he makes sure that the healthy branches are put back on the lattice work or the whatever you call those things that the grapes grow on. I love the arbors. I guess that's what we're talking about. I love to see that. They take the healthy branches, not the sick ones, not the suckers, not the ones that aren't going to produce. But they prune, they protect, and they place them in the right place. It's important for us to remember that God truly wants us to abide in the vine. Our text, Jesus said, if you abide in me and in my words, then he will abide in us. And it seems important to me that we need to understand there's an order to that, that you and I need to make the decision that I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to do my very best to be him. Jesus explained, I am the vine, you're the branches. I'm what gives life and sustains the plant and gives the growth. And he says the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that prunes and takes away what's unproductive. I want to be productive, and I want you to be productive, and Jesus does too. But the thing that I got this time when I read the passage and I studied it as never before is that word, abide, abide, abide in me, abide in me. If you want me to abide in you, abide in my word. Abide in love, abide, that he comes back 10 times at least in those 11 verses. You cannot escape the fact that we must be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then why not today change that? We already mentioned Galatians 3 and verse 27. If you want to put on Christ, you do that through baptism. As a penitent believer, repenting of sins, confessing his name, we can assist you and baptize you this morning into Jesus Christ. Then you need to be faithful. And being faithful is the same thing as abiding in him, living like he wants you to live. If you wander away, you need to come back. To be grafted back into the healthy vine. Because as the branches without him, we simply wither and die. This morning, if we can assist you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?